Bienvenidos, comunidad, a todos los que se están escuchando a nuestro podcast de Pixeles y Decibeles en este día sábado. Ah, bueno, mentira, estamos grabando en día sábado, pero ustedes probablemente lo están escuchando el otro día, jaja. Este podcast es súper especial porque finalmente tenemos de aquí a Gio. Y va a ser también un podcast especial porque va a ser nuestro primer podcast en inglés. Así que, para quienes no lo sepan, vamos a tener activadas las opciones de auto-enable subtitles para que puedan entender y disfrutar de este podcast. Y pues nada, voy a empezar a hablar en inglés. Gracias por estar, gracias por escucharnos. I'll say hello to my awesome team here. And welcome everyone. How are you in this Woo-hoo. Beautiful day?
Thank you, Charlie. Yeah, me too.
Awesome.
With a very good invite.
Yeah. We are super excited to have Gio here. I'll let you introduce yourself, say hello to the whole community and who you are. Can you tell us a little bit about you?
Hey, everyone. I'm Giovanni Webster. I have 33 years old. I'm from Brazil.
Yes.
It's a huge honor to be here with you today, talking about game audio, talking about games in this podcast from Game Audio Latam. Mm-hmm. It's amazing to be here. Finally, we are doing this.
Yeah, finally, we were talking like every week. Can we do it? No, we have to change. Oh, yeah. But finally, we are here and we are super happy.
Yeah, after so many time, we are here today. Yeah, and let's go for it.
Awesome. Well, as you have noticed, Gio is from Brazil, and we are super excited to also have him like kind of start in this role of like our Brazilian representative. We always wanted to also reach out to the entire Game Audio Latam community, and that of course means Brazil. So we are also like, other than talking to him about his experience and all what he has done in game audio, also because he's going to talk a little bit about what Brazil is doing in game audio, and we know that they are doing awesome things and we can learn a lot from that. So also super excited about that. So let's get to it. Gio, can you tell us a little bit about Brazilian game audio industry? Like what would be like the big studios that we can learn, or like what is the story? Like just like a really brief story of what you all are doing or have done. And what are the really cool things that we can learn from you?
Yeah, so, okay, let's start with game audio in Brazil. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I can say is that we have a lot of professionals in Brazil that is working on game audio now. Mm-hmm. And the community is amazing. The community is like you. We help ourselves a lot. And we have people, how can I say, some people, some important people in Brazil that we can think about the professionals that work on different, how can I say, environments,
right?
Like, one of the things that I studied on my master degree was we have in Brazil different types of services for audio. So there are a lot mm-hmm. of people that are freelancer. There are a lot of people that work in house companies that produce audio for game developers. We don't have so many people who works inside game companies today in Brazil.
Okay.
So yeah, this is one of the things that I've studied 3 years ago, about 4 years ago, and I found that there are a lot of companies today. Mm-hmm. Brazilian industry, game industry is growing mm-hmm. A lot, and people from around the world are investing in Brazil,
right,
in game companies. But the thing is, the companies are not so huge, are not so big. You know, we don't do AAA games. We don't compete with the big companies in the world, in the US, in Europe, in Australia. But we do great games. We do amazing games, but they are not huge. And if we think about huge games, we think about huge budgets,
right?
Huge investment,
right?
And as we don't have that so much, now you can say, okay, now the companies are hiring audio professionals. You know, one audio professional to do sound effects, one for compose music, one to work as a VO designer, one to work as an audio producer to, you know, get things done. And one thing that I notice a lot in Brazil, many people want to start in game audio, and they don't know where to learn, where they go, where to, you know, where to work, which program to I need to use. You know, I need a computer, I need a headphone, I need monitors, I need things like that. And yeah, how can I say? In my one thing that I can talk about my experience, it's kind of a case study about me now.
Let's do it.
When I entered the university, I was studying at Universidade Fevale in a city called Novo Hamburgo, near Porto Alegre in south of Brazil. At the university, at the college, everyone wants to be a 3D artist. I want to do characters. I want to do levels. Everyone wants to be programmer. I want to learn code. I want to learn the engine. So, and the thing I noticed is, and I came from a musical background before doing games, because I was playing drums in band, band. Yeah, then I went to DJ life in nightclubs and playing.
That's awesome.
So many different things, but let's focus on games. When I started on the first on my first disciplines in the college, everyone was talking about other things that are not audio,
right?
And then I found a niche. I found a space. Okay, no one is talking about it. And then when I started to learn about and start to I've got some things in about music production, about electronic music and things like that. And I applied to the game development in the college, and then I can use some of the things that I already know. This was 12 years ago, you know. 13 years ago. And then when I found that that was that space to apply my audio knowledge, I can produce sound effects for the projects that are being done in you know the other the other classes, the other semesters, the other disciplines. And then if we're a group of four colleagues and they are ending, they are getting to finish their project, we need music. Oh my god. we need sound effects.
Yeah.
You know? There is one guy in the university who knows that, Giovanni.
That's one person.
Yeah, and then I was doing sound and music for everyone in the college. Mm-hmm. And I started working on the creative laboratory, creative mm-hmm. lab.
Right.
And yeah, and we are doing some projects to inside the university to you know, get partners to do games. Mm-hmm. And one of the partners who signed it up for a new project was a company called Jumbo, that they write RPGs stories.
Okay.
And comics also. Mm. And then we are going to, oh nice, Jumbo is going to work with us at the university, and we are going to do a RPG beat 'em up game based on their characters,
yeah,
on their comic. Mm-hmm. And that was my first real project,
right?
You know?
Yeah,
yeah. And then I was really, really excited because I was alone working on the audio, so mm-hmm. implementing things in Unity at the time. I was alone. We are not using middlewares. Mm-hmm. We are. You know, I was using only libraries because I didn't got to record nothing.
Yeah.
And it was really exciting because I've that time, and I was on the third semester, I think, third or fourth semester. And I was really excited because at that time in this project, I found what I wanted to do, audio for yeah. games, you know. And it was a long time ago, and now things are changed because we have so many companies. We have, I guess, 5, 6, 7 times more companies than we have 10 years ago.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And yeah, we are growing. One thing that I can confirm mm-hmm. is that Brazil is doing great games for everyone to mm-hmm. play, but we are not in a state to compete against
right.
big companies. And I think that this works for everyone in the Latin America.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to say that.
Yes.
I was going to say that. I think it's really nice, like, because it's usually, of course, like, because of the language barrier and all of those things, like, to understand a little bit more of what's happening in Brazil. But now that you're telling this, I'm just thinking myself, like, wow, it's basically the same as the rest Latin American like scene. It's like, yeah. it's developing, it's growing. There are a couple companies that are doing great stuff. But of course, like, we are not, right, like, competing with the US industry, with the Europe industry.
Yeah.
But it is growing. And like all the game audio things that you mentioned is like, it also applies here. Like most of the companies do not have someone like full time doing audio. It's usually they yeah. work as a external contractors, and they start doing that. Question, did you study, like, at this university that you were working, you study something related to game audio, or was like more that you met people that were studying game development and you decided to do the audio?
No, it was a game development course. So
okay,
yeah, everything, and I was studying different disciplines. It's actually one of the first courses in south of Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
We got at the time. It was available two courses, one in a city near me, one in my city in, mm-hmm. in Novo Hamburgo, and both of them are game development, but one of them are more focused on code.
Okay.
And since I was not going to code, I was okay. I'm going to the more art focused,
right?
The more creative one,
right?
And this one is it's we have everything. You know, we can ship a game because our final project is a whole game, mm-hmm. from concept for to producing to dates, mm-hmm. to, you know, things.
Yep.
Everything that is involved in the game, and we have two disciplines, I think, about audio. At the time, now mm-hmm. they changed the curriculum already, but it was not audio focused. You know, mm-hmm. It was the whole game development gotcha. Thing. Yeah, and then after that, I went to a master degree mm-hmm. that I was. The master degree was about creative industries, so it's more. You know, more things, not just games.
Right, a more global approach into.
Yeah, uh-huh. So it was a high level, you know, mm-hmm. TV, films, things like that, fashion, and other creative things. Mm-hmm. And then my work, my dissertation in yep. in mm-hmm. the master degree. Was about game audio in Brazil.
Oh, cool.
So I talked to 8 different professionals mm-hmm. to try to find the types of audio production for games in Brazil. So that I was mentioned before,
uh-huh.
you know, we have the freelancer, we have people inside game companies, we have people in audio companies who are hired by game companies to do audio. Yeah. We have people who make games that don't have anyone mm-hmm. you know that works with audio.
Yeah.
We have a lot of Brazilian games that are launched, are shipped without no one working yeah. on audio. So, yeah.
Same.
It happened. Yeah.
And do you happen to know what's the case for someone who right now wants to enter the game audio world and wants to study somewhere? Are there options? Are there careers that are specifically about game audio?
Sure. You mean in Brazil?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, definitely. You can live with only game audio today. I'm not the ideal person to talk about freelance mm-hmm. Work, because I was. In my whole career, I was working on the university, then I've done a lot of game jams, then I was hired by a company, then I was hired by another company, then I was hired by a third company who was bigger, one of the big ones in Brazil, and then I've come to the UK. So I've never worked in that format.
Mm-hmm.
I've done some work already. To other companies in that using the freelance mode, but I know that you can work in both ways, because mm-hmm. Now we have one of the things that I can confirm is that we have few qualified professionals, and it's difficult to find people that, you know, have experience, people who, okay, I need to give my game to you and you will do the audio direction, you do the voices, you provide the voices, you record them with someone in a studio. You know, it's difficult to find someone who have that experience for the whole game. But now, if you want to start now, I guess it's today. It's different from 12 years ago, because it's more it's more easy to find the things on the internet. You can talk with everyone in the community, in this community. You can talk with people around the world. You can talk with people in Discord, in LinkedIn, in, you know, in Facebook, in Twitter. Twitter a lot.
Yeah.
And then I guess the thing is, you can learn everything by your own. You can learn by yourself. Obviously, if you go to, you know, doing courses, I want to study in Canada, I want to study in somewhere around the world, you can, but you can learn everything by yourself.
Agree.
Yeah, definitely.
Agree.
How easy is to find resources written in Portuguese for like, or I like, I believe that's like really hard, no? Right?
That's a good question. Yeah, that's a good question. Because now one of the most easy materials that you can find, it's my work.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
But I was thinking about it. Now we have. Groups, we have communities, we have different groups in Brazil. We have some people who do courses and provide a lot of things, a lot of different things. But you know, the books that I used in my work was all in English. So,
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There is a few things you can find in Brazilian Portuguese today. And yeah, we have some groups. We have Game Audio Academy in Brazil.
Okay.
From Thiago Adamo. He's one of the most known audio professionals for games in Brazil. We have the Game Audio School from Antonio Teoli. He's one of my partners today at Andromeda Sound. He lives in Los Angeles, and yeah, we have a lot of people that are doing great job in YouTube channels. You know, how can I say, giving tips, showing what they're doing, talking about their project, talking about their work. And this is amazing because I can confirm that in Brazil, audio, it's one of the disciplines in the game development that is completely opened, you know.
Right.
Everyone can join. Everyone can. I want to see what you're doing. Can you show me? Can you tell me? So everyone it's accessible. You know, it's easy to talk to everyone, and you just need to send a message. You just need to add them on Twitter, follow them on Twitter, and hey, can you talk about this? Yes, I can. I will definitely talk with you about it.
That's awesome.
And yeah, it was always like that. And the things are getting better with the internet, with what I mentioned before.
Yeah.
You know, we can, I'm one, I don't know, 12, 13 K kilometers from you, and we are talking naturally, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I agree. It's easier now, but that's also really awesome to hear, like the openness and just like the desire to improve and help each other. I think that's something always nice to have, and it will definitely help a lot of people that want to get into this career, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, talking about careers, I think this might be a good pivot point to start talking about your career. I just lately mentioned right now, like, that you, like, okay, you graduated from your master, and you started doing a lot of game jams, working for three different companies, if I'm not wrong. And then so let's talk a little bit about that. How has your work evolved? Which were the companies, the games? What were some of your experiences? What were you doing? Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, cool. Let's go. So it all started when I was a child.
First, I was born.
Because I was always had the dream of working with games, and my brother and I always play together. So starting with Atari, and then we go to Master System, then Sega Genesis, Mega Drive in Brazil. I don't know if it's Mega Drive for you.
No.
Yeah, Sega Genesis, Mega Drive.
Okay.
Yeah. then PlayStation, then Dreamcast, and everything else. Mm-hmm. And we always had a competitive spirit. We both like games and sports and things like that. So yeah. And then one of the things that how can I say it is a lesson for my life was. Mm-hmm. I was going to buy a game in a store.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I was 10 years old or 11 years old. And then I was going to buy Crash Bandicoot for PlayStation.
Yeah,
the first one. And then it was not the first one. It was Crash Warped 3. And then I played the previews, and then I arrived at the store and I saw that the games were on the shelves.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was thinking, one day I will be in that shelf with a game, you know.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
So great.
Yeah, and then I was thinking this remind me that it started long ago, and then I was talking to you before about the university. Yes, I went to a lot of game jams. Mm-hmm. I think that this is a really really good tip for everyone that is starting now.
Mm-hmm.
So. If you want to show your talent, if you want to show your voice, your sounds, your music, you can go to game jams. I've done a lot of them, and I've done some of them alone, some of them with two people, some of them with four people, some of them with a lot of sizes, different sizes. Mm-hmm. And then... In college, I was working on a company that was doing animations for web, for the internet. And one of the animations at that time, we had music. We need to add soundtrack to that animation. And then I was talking with the art director, and it's, I can do that music. I can make it. Yeah. And then it all started in that first company that we are doing animations. And after this, the first one, we added sound for almost every animation that we done. And then I worked on that about one year and a half.
Okay.
Then I went to other company that I started to work with Unity. And it was interactive things, different things.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, demonstrations and architectural things, not games mm-hmm. specifically. Mm-hmm. But I was doing games with other companies, you know, groups, people who lived college. I need music. I need sound effects. Let's talk to Giovanni. And one day I was... 2014, I was on an event in Brazil, on a game event, and then I'm already working in a lot mm-hmm. of different projects from mm-hmm. game jams and things like that, small projects, but I've got a lot of them, different genres, different games, you know, different styles. I met two people from one of the biggest companies in Brazil, Akiris.
Right.
Akiris Game Studio.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And at the time, I met them and they were talking to me. It was the marketing director and one of the producers. And we were talking about audio, and they asked it for my portfolio. It's okay, here it is. Mm-hmm. And I started working at the Kitties in the beginning of 2014. They are doing the project I entered was one of the game one of the Cartoon Network games. They partner with Cartoon Network.
Cool.
And we've done 3 or 4 different games for Cartoon. Mm-hmm. But I entered on the one that was from the regular show game.
Nice.
Cartoon.
Yeah.
Mordecai. Mordecai Rigby and wow. Everyone. Yeah. And it was a tower defense mixed with MOBA. Mm-hmm. You can go with the heroes and construct towers, but you can use your powers and kill the enemies. Yeah, and it was for web and for mobile,
mm-hmm.
at the time, and everything started with that project, and I was already excited because I was doing small games with 2, 3, 4 people, small companies, animations and things like that, and I entered in a company that were doing games for Cartoon Network.
Of course.
And I was already I was already talking in English with mm-hmm. people from Cartoon Network in the US, and it was really awesome as a first project, you
of
know.
Of course.
And then I was working on work for hire mode. Mm-hmm. I was not a full employee,
right.
of the company. 6 months later, they hired me as a full.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we started working on one of the most amazing games that I already done, Ballistic Overkill. It was a first person shooter, mm-hmm. Multiplayer game. It's think about a Call of Duty with Quake. It's a it's an arena game, but it's more military.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And cool. it's two group of mercenaries, 6v6, 8v8, 10v10, I guess 12 was the maximum.
Wow.
And then it was a really huge challenge for me because I know that in your countries this happens. You mentioned before, I was one man, one audio guy, and I was one professional for 150 different weapons.
Yeah.
12 classes.
Yeah.
Oh my god,
that's 20, a big 20, challenge. 20,
yeah. 20 maps, so wow. It was so many, because the game was, when I started working at the Kitties, the games already exist. And the game was running in, I forget the name of the, in Unity, we used the web plugin. The game run it in Facebook.
Okay.
Like you can, in the past, you was able to play Candy Crush in Facebook,
yes.
right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You were able to play Ballistic in Facebook. Yeah, and then there are few audio assets in the game in that time, because 10 weapons are using the same fire.
Yeah.
Things like that, and that was unacceptable for me. it was a Facebook game. We need to reuse the assets. And
right, you have like these memory constraints, and it's
so limits and physical limits. We can't have more than 100 audio files and things like that at the time. Wow. And I was changing some things inside the game. And then I worked for 1 year. Mm-hmm. in that one year and a half in that things that I mentioned before, so the whole arsenal, classes, so we recorded voiceovers for everyone in English and in Brazilian Portuguese.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah it was amazing. It was mm-hmm. an amazing opportunity. And then after that, the game was running smooth on Facebook. It was a really cool project, because I've added a lot of audio things in the game, mm-hmm. but everything was running fine. It's okay.
Yes.
And in that meantime, we started working on other two games, and Ballistic was. It was not discarded, but it was okay. It is doing good. It will continue on Facebook, but we have two other games to work on. Mm-hmm. One of the games was Horizon Chase, the racing game that we mm-hmm. done in 2015. And the other game was the first partnership with Scopely US. We are doing the Looney Tunes World of Mayhem. So
nice.
Imagine I was so excited because we are doing Cartoon Network. Then I was going to do Looney Tunes.
Getting all of them and, is awesome.
Yeah. And that one was one of the most special projects in my life because I directed people who recorded voices for the characters, for nice. Bugs Bunny, for awesome. For Daffy wow. Duck, for everyone in the Looney Tunes franchise who recorded that characters 25 years ago.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
do wow. the same yeah. characters, and I was. I remember the first day that I went to the studio in Brazil, in Porto Alegre, and we are in Skype, and they are in Los Angeles recording, and I was with everyone involved. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's start. I will direct them. I just watched them because I didn't want to stop. I didn't want to.
Yeah.
To say anything because they are doing the characters so perfect.
Right, they've been doing that like their whole career.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. 5 years. And who is me? Who is Giovanni to tell the Bugs Bunny to say something different, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that thing is, it was, some things were complicated because mm-hmm. we need to keep in line, especially with Warner Brothers, because we are doing, we are adding 100 characters in the game, okay, but we are creating, how can I say, skins for the characters. Mm-hmm. So we have the Bugs Bunny, we have the default Bugs Bunny,
okay,
but we have the police Bugs Bunny police officer. Mm-hmm. Then we have the different types of Bugs Bunny.
Right.
But one of the, not one, but a lot of different characters was created by Achilles. They didn't exist.
Okay.
Since the beginning of the Looney Tunes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the moments that I was able to work with the game designers and, okay, now we can create a voice line for this character because they didn't exist.
Right.
We are doing for the first time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was things that I used more my creativity, you know, about not just watching them record in Skype, and so it's everything's fine. Go on, you were perfect for 25 years now already. So the voice work for that game was really incredible. We worked with Eric Bauza. He did Space Jam 2. what was awesome. To met them and know that I was recording voices for characters that are so iconic for everyone. Knows Bugs Bunny and the whole cast of characters, changing to Horizon Chase, that experience was also amazing because it was one of the CEOs from Achilles. Mm-hmm. He's a technical director. He was tweaking in Unity, experimenting things, and he came one day with his cell phone. Look at this build. Look what I've done. I've done a racing game based on the racing game from the 90s on the Super Nintendo, SNES, and Sega Genesis. And I was looking at that block at that time. It was a red block. Car was a red block, and he added spoiler.
In the back of the block.
It ended looking like a bed, a red bed, and we are okay. The bed running in the asphalt So. It was good because we looked at that experiment, and this could be a good thing. Everything started. I remember that we are doing mini games. They are calling. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have to do mini games, just like jams inside the company.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And then we are doing different mini games, and then. He came with that experiment. Hey, look at this. I've done a racing game. This could be a good thing. And then 1 week later, we are talking about the games that we would use as a reference. And we are talking about Top Gear. Do you know Top Gear?
No, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And for a Brazilian gamer, every time you mention Top Gear, the first thing you remember is the music.
Right.
Because the music is so iconic. And then we are talking about, okay, the music, okay, who is the composer of that music? And then I went searching, and who is the guy? Oh, it's Barry Leach. Nice. How can we contact him?
Uh-huh.
And then we are talking in a meeting. Mm-hmm. In a table, and then everyone was he won't do music for a Brazilian company. let's reach him, let's send a message. And I opened Facebook at the time, and I find the fun page at the time from Barry Leach, and I sent a message. Hey Barry, my name is Giovanni, I'm from Brazil. We are doing a racing game based on Top Gear, on Lotus Turbo Challenge, that racing games of the 90s. What do you think about doing music for us? And then one day later, he answered, and he said, "I'm in."
Oh,
yeah. I'm in.
So good.
And the most amazing thing was, he said, "I'm in because I I'm not doing music for games for something close to 10 years now. Okay. He was working on toys. He was doing MIDI music for toys. Uh-huh. So yeah, you know, if you a truck who plays music, you know, a robot, if you press the hand, he will play some music and things like that. And then we let's bring back Barry for a game industry, you know, using that opportunity. So yeah, it was amazing because he was so excited. We were so excited to have him in the game. And then we were talking in one of the first meetings that we have with him. We were talking about the music from Top Gear, and yeah, that's the reference. Okay, I would do something close to that, but we mentioned that was, yeah, Barry, the music is great, but that was 22 years ago. Mm-hmm. Can you make it modern? What DAW do you use? Mm-hmm. What instruments are you thinking to use? Mm-hmm. And then he was, don't worry, I will do things like Top Gear, but in a modern way, you know. And it worked. It worked on the first. I guess we received 5 tracks, and it was all of them was amazing. He was using, I don't remember the software that he used. I think it's Resonator.
Okay. Like a DAW.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a DAW, but it's old. it's old school. But every track that we received, it was one, you know, better. Oh, whoa, this is amazing. Oh, this is so good. It's getting better and better. And we reached, I think, 16 tracks for the whole game, because we launched Horizon Chase World Tour first for mobile, for iOS first and then Android. And then 2 years later, one year and a half later, we started working on the console version, Horizon Chase Turbo, that we launched to PlayStation and Nintendo Switch, Xbox, and PC. It was so great to, you know, work with Barry again. We can make more music. Now we have 4 players on the screen. And it was a huge challenge. It was, I guess, it was the most difficult in terms of not content, because Ballistic was a lot of more content. But I guess for me, it was a challenge to mix everything properly.
Of course,
you know. Yeah, 4 players on the screen. It was the first time that we are going to mobile to console. You know, I need to read all the Sony documentation. I need to read everything that, you know, we need to make it the right way to put it on consoles. Mm-hmm. Loudness and everything like that. Yeah, and then Horizon Chase was a huge success. I was so surprised for the results of the game, because one of the most amazing things about that journey was in 2017. Yeah, in 2017, we were receive in Brazil the Video Games Live concert from Tommy Talarico. Yeah, that was amazing, because they were they have that repertory, you know, Zelda, Mario, Sonic, God of War, Battlefield, only the most iconic franchises and soundtracks for that games. Mm-hmm. And then we received an email. Hey, this is Tommy Tallarico. I wanted to say that we are going to Brazil this year. And every time that we went to Brazil, the public, everyone asks for us, hey, you need to play Top Gear music. You need to play the Top Gear soundtrack because everyone in Brazil knows Top Gear. Everyone in Brazil are fans of Top Gear. Uh-huh. And then he do a research and find out that we hired Barry for the Horizon Chase
game. Yeah.
And then I was reading the email and I was not believing in what Tommy was saying because he wanted to do a medley of Top Gear and Horizon Chase tracks and to play in the concerts for mm-hmm. Video Games Live in the first time in Brazil. Mm-hmm. And that was so crazy for me because, you know, we have a Brazilian game that is surprisingly huge for us with, you know, so many prizes and I don't remember the number for Apple, they have the editor's choice, mm-hmm. and Horizon Chase in iOS and in Apple Store, I guess it was editor's choice in 45 countries, different
That's
countries.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah. And you know, so many things at the same time. And then we received that email from Tommy and I was, okay, we are ready to do this. And then we reached Barry and then Barry said, I'm going to Brazil because I need to see that in the stage with Tommy.
Yeah.
And you know, it ended up like this. They played in three different cities, São mm-hmm. Paulo, Rio de Janeiro, and Belo Horizonte in mm-hmm. Minas Gerais. In the three concerts, Top Gear and Horizon Chase medley was at the end of uh-huh. the concert. And we traveled, me and the game designer from Horizon Chase, we traveled with them in that cities with Barry. Mm-hmm. And then every time that Tommy said, okay, now we are going to play a song that everyone asks that we play in Brazil. Get ready for Top Gear and Horizon Chase. And then he announced in the microphone, Giovanni Webster and Felipe, the game designer, they're here. And then it was like a Grammy entrance. For
yeah,
me,
like super surreal. Yeah.
What I'm doing here?
That rockstar moment.
That yeah. spotlight in my face and so many people in front of me, and then their surprise was in every city. Tommy Tallarico was going to announce that Barry was there mm-hmm. after us. You know, uh-huh. and then Barry comes. In the curtains, you know, surprisingly, and it was amazing. It was awesome, man. Wow. It was, you know, things that I will never forget. And
such a good experience, right?
Yeah. And Horizon Chase was huge. We added on the consoles. Mm-hmm. It was a huge success. Then we started working on the first game that we are doing together with Apple, Wonderbox, mm-hmm. the adventure maker. Now it's a mix of Captain Toad uh-huh. with Zelda, okay. Mario okay. and Zelda, And yeah, you can create your adventures. And it was the first time that we are using FMod.
Okay.
The first time that I was working on a Unreal game. Mm-hmm. It was FMod with Unreal.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. And that game was so good. It was amazing. You know, so many different content we created. We created a language, just like, you know, like The Sims do.
Oh,
you know,
right, right. Like,
you know, people talk like, la, da, da, da,
yeah, blah, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. We created a language for the game. It was different. Mm-hmm. It was it used a lot of creativity, and Wonderbox. It was a huge project, and then in the middle of my work at Achilles, I was already there 7 years and a half. In the last year, I guess March or April, and then I was, you know, just of curiosity, looking things at internet open positions, you know, for companies around the world, and then my girlfriend, that it's my, she's my wife today, she mentioned, why you don't send your portfolio, why you don't try things, you know, just see what will happen. And I was thinking about that thing that we mentioned before, that in Brazil we are not doing AAA games. And if I want to go to a company that, you know, not a company that do AAA, but companies worldwide, they are bigger. They have, you know, more investment to do bigger games. They have audio teams.
Right.
You know.
Right.
By the time I was working with two people already at the Kitties.
I was going to ask you.
So
that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it was three people in the team. One for Looney Tunes, because Looney Tunes it's going on still. The game it's a huge success. With Life Ops, with so many
Life
different
service,
characters. Yep. And then I was thinking about, you know, it's some kind of imposter syndrome-y. I'm not experienced in game, in huge games. Why companies that make huge games want me?
Right.
You know? And then, okay, let's see what will happen. And I was, you know, I made a spreadsheet with companies and emails. This one I sent. And then, surprisingly, three companies in Europe reached me. One from Norway.
Okay.
One from France, and one from England. Splash Damage. Yeah, and then I was thinking about, okay, let's talk with them. And I was showing the projects and things that I've already done, and my portfolio, and animations and films, and you know, everything that I added audio. And remember that I mentioned that when I entered Achilles 2014, I've done the Cartoon Network project, and then Ballistic.
Yep.
Surprisingly, my audio director today was interested in Ballistic, a first-person shooter that I've done 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And we talked for the first time, then for the second time, then for the third time. And then I mentioned to my wife, it's happening. And then I think they are interested, and then you know, a lot of interviews and things like that. And yeah, they hired me for a senior audio designer position in Splash Damage. And I moved to the UK in November last year. So we are here, you know, almost 7 months. Yeah.
Wow, yeah, time flies.
Yeah, 7 months yeah. now. Yeah. And I'm really excited because we are doing huge games. Mm-hmm. This is so sad because I can't talk about it.
Oh yeah,
it's complicated. I can't talk about the projects, mm-hmm. but one thing that is it's amazing for Splash that we launched. The last game that we launched was Gears Tactics from mm-hmm. the Gears of War franchise, and we have Outcasters also. It went to Google Stadia, and then we have Gears Tactics and Halo. We're working on Halo Master Chief Collection. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But these games, they are every project we have partner, you know, Gears with Microsoft, with right. Coalition,
right.
you know, Gears Tactics with, you know, mm-hmm. Halo with Microsoft and things mm-hmm. like that. But now, apart from one project that is the most advanced mm-hmm. One that we have now, we are making our own games, our own
that's
IPs.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
So yeah, this is how can I say it? This is different because we have a creative freedom. So we are not attached to.
Yeah.
The publisher wants this in that in that milestone, mm-hmm. and we need to do this, we need to do that, just like that, just the way they want, mm-hmm. and now we do the way we want, in our own IPs, in our own worlds, in yeah. our own character, in our own things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the most exciting thing. I am working in two projects. One is far, far away to be launched, and this is really amazing for an audio designer and audio team, because mm-hmm. we can, you know, we are in the concept phase and we can talk about ideas and things like,
right?
We don't know what is the game yet. And I'm already thinking about the audio, mm-hmm. you know, the direction, the mm-hmm. aesthetic, the mood, the tone, mm-hmm. and what, you know, what will be the sound design for this, the voice for that characters and mm-hmm. things like that. And I'm definitely experimenting things.
Yeah.
You know, this is good. This is I one of the things that I want that every audio professional went to is this process to, you know, make a game from the beginning together with the team, together with the lead artists, together with the programmers, together with the producer, with the game designers, especially the game designers. So we have, you know, VFX, things like that. So be in synchrony with everyone in the beginning, since the beginning of the project. And it's a huge project, so long to be launched. I don't know, we're thinking about 2025,
right?
Maybe, you know,
it's really big development cycles.
And it's a big cycle, and it's been amazing so far. I'm really used to the UK already.
Yeah, so, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. Surprise! I'm surprised about the. Well, it's not a surprise because in Brazil, every people who came outside Brazil who mm-hmm. came to Brazil, they said everyone in Brazil, it's so, how can I explain? It's good to talk to Brazilians, and they are so, you know, they friendly. Receive the people. Yes, yes, they're kindly. They, you know, mm-hmm. And I was thinking about that people outside Brazil are not like that. but yeah, that's a lie, because mm-hmm. I've arrived here and everyone it's so kindly, it's so good. It's mm-hmm. I have a lot of friends already at Splash, and
wow.
And yeah, it's been an amazing journey.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah, I've talked for 40 minutes.
no, this is great. Yeah, this is very cool.
Yeah. Actually, we wanted to make you a last question before we
yeah,
end up
sure.
the podcast. How are you like facing the cultural like the impact that going to London, how do you face all this cultural between Brazil and London? Yeah.
I was remember that I told before that thing about I'm going to a company who make AAA games. Mm-hmm. It's going to I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how they work. You know, it's oh my god, it's so different. It's not so different. You know, we have the same processes. We have the same things in talking about work now. Mm-hmm. But it's everything. It's on a large scale,
right?
You know, it's the same thing, but everything mm-hmm. on a large scale. Because I was used to smaller teams, you know, smaller companies, smaller games, and now everything is larger. In the culture part that you mentioned, Rodrigo, it was you know when we arrived, it was everything was different. With you know things in a daily basis in my daily routine, you know, I don't know where do I get the bus. I don't know how can I pay my bills. I don't know things like that. And it was so automatically for me in Brazil. It's okay, if, yeah. you know, things in my routine was normal for me.
Mm-hmm.
But when we arrived here, me and my wife, mm-hmm. we had to learn everything from the beginning.
Right.
You know, so, okay, I visited, six or seven different flats to rent.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. when I rent a flat, what services I need to, you know, I need to act upon.
Yeah.
So everything is different. Not everything, but most of that part. And now we are not talking about work at all in my life, because it was interesting. You mentioned that because one of the first meetings that I have with the audio director, he mentioned, your company that you had in Brazil, you were working on Brazil, and then you changed it for us to work for us. You moved to the UK and you changed your life, not just your professional career. Your work,
of
you changed everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a huge change.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. a huge change. But I can confirm that we are already used to most of the things. So yeah, it's been 7 months now, and you know, we learn a new thing every day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that I thought that will be I thought that I would need, you know, 1 year to be right. to be used to the things here, but we already are good, you know. I guess 4 or 5 months we're already pretty used to everything, and you know, simple things that I mentioned before, you know, like how can I activate the water in my apartment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How can I pay the internet? You know, how can things like mm-hmm. that? And, mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, going to for groceries, for example.
Right.
In Brazil, okay, I need to go to the supermarket and I need to buy the things. Mm-hmm. And they had time between 8 a.m. and 10 p.m. Cool. Then I went to the supermarket here in a Sunday.
Oh, they closed.
And it was 6 p.m. It's closed. What is it? Yeah. So you know, basic things that we are getting used to. You know, from time to time, and it's not a problem, you know. It's
right.
It's part of the process, mm-hmm. I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's great. It's great to hear that you are already adapted and happy and enjoying your time there. And we are super happy that you're getting this very, very well deserved opportunity.
Of course.
Working at Splash Damage, yes, that's great. And Gio, unfortunately, we have run out of time, but we would like to ask you to please let us know where can people find you on social media, because you were saying earlier how important it is to reach out to other professionals and how much you can learn from them. So I'm sure that our audience will want to get in touch with you.
Yeah, sure. Please feel free to follow me on Twitter, add me on LinkedIn. You will find in everywhere is just type Giovanni Webster, mm-hmm. and you will find me on every social media. And we can add the usernames.
Yes, we'll link those.
We will
in the video.
Yeah, but please, one of the things that I really like is to talk about not just audio, but you know, about games, about mm-hmm. you know, movie series and mm-hmm. things that we like with other professionals from, you know, around the world. So I'm already used to, you know, have that contact with everyone, you know. I think that if we have that we have an opportunity to, you know, link us mm-hmm. using that tools, mm-hmm. using these tools, mm-hmm. and then, you know, This has been so good for me to talk with everyone in that tools. Agreed. Using social media and Agreed. Things like that, and let's keep doing that. Let's please, yeah. Feel free to add me, and we talk about everything.
Yes. Well, this was really, really great, Gio, and I wanted to thank you again for giving us the time, mm-hmm. talking about your experience, the Brazilian industry. This was awesome. Again. Very well deserved what you've achieved, and I only hope the best for you, like, going forward. We have to close this, so I hope everyone enjoyed this as much as we did. Feel free to reach out to Gio, to everyone here. We will be doing this again, like, for sure. Gio's here to stay, and we would love to have you back. And
I have like a weird request. It's fine if you say no, but Majo, who is another of our hosts, like usually in the podcast, she always tells the community to drink water, reminds us to drink water. Can you tell the community, please, to drink water so we can close this? This is important to stay hydrated. And if you can say that in Portuguese, it'd be awesome. So,
oh, yeah. Let me drink my first.
Yes.
It is so important to hydrate yourself. So you need to drink water. And it's not a glass of water. You know, you need to drink water every time. Yeah. So 2 liters, 3 liters of water a day. Mm-hmm. Please drink water. Por favor, beba água todos os dias.
Perfecto, eso. Awesome, Gio. Thank you so much. Thank you for being here and for the time. We'll see you again. And bye, community. Muchas gracias por estar como siempre. Nos veremos en la próxima.
Adiós.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. See ya.